Hi, I'm Ben Folds. Today on the Arts Vote 2020 podcast series on art and politics, Senator Mark Begich and I talked to presidential candidate Congressman John Delaney. Speaking to Congressman Delaney after our session, he confessed to me his love for Bruce Springsteen. He's gone to over 30 Springsteen concerts. There's a fun fact for you. He also served on the board of directors for the National Symphony Orchestra in Washington, D.C., and he loves the idea of a National Service Artist Corps and would love to double the budget of the National Endowment for the Arts if he were to become president. So here's the conversation we had with presidential candidate, Congressman John Delaney.
So let me ask you, you know, you've mentioned how you've been engaged with your kids and kind of how things have changed. Tell me a little bit more about that. What is that like as a parent? And what is changing now in the sense of how you work with your kids around arts?
My oldest daughter is 26, and now my youngest is 12, so I have a big span. I've watched the technology change at these.
And how they use them.
Yeah, so it used to be the parents would set up their, like, video cameras, which was like a big thing.
Box.
You'd get the spot, and you'd have the big thing, and, you know, now it's obviously changed.
Yeah, now they sell the DVDs afterwards.
That's right. They make it easy for you.
Yeah. Ben, you know, you heard John talk about how it's impacted him, and I guess you are in the arts every day in one form or another, and you're meeting artists. You know, here we are in this presidential race, and the campaigns are now starting to evolve. What are artists telling you, and what have you think is important with regards to what the presidential candidate should be thinking about?
Yeah. Well, I think probably the first place an artist's mind goes is where it all starts, which is education. And I think an artist by nature is looking at human nature and communicating constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably more obvious sometimes to an artist what's going on with the fabric of society. And I view time spent in discussing the arts and arts policy and leading on arts as one of those long-term fabric of society sort of issues. You can look at a whole lot of things and we can argue about why they go wrong. And eventually it's like, well, it's the same constitution. It's the same law. It's the same temptation to maybe skirt some sort of tax issue or anything. But you see that some generations more than others take the bait. And some of them fall down on the job, like I feel like we see now. And I suppose that the arts have a lot to do with the formation of a person in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you learn to sing with other people. You're learning to sing in harmony. You're learning to sing in unison.
Well,
you learn to work together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you see when you see the NSO, Symphony Orchestra. You're seeing the symbol of an artistic symbol for civilization, people working together. And I'm glad to hear you say that. That it's important to symbolically lead from the top down on this thing. Somehow, our leaders have to have a great talent for framing the arts for as important as they are in the way they contribute to society. It's tough because, I mean, I think that possibly if we look at it as what can the arts do for us rather than what we're trying to do for the arts. I'm here because I had a nice living in the arts, and I've can see so many ways that it gives back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think often when I'm talking to, for instance, music fans, if they have a little misunderstanding of why I go advocate for the arts, it doesn't take long to convince them that, no, we're trying to see what the arts can do. I mean, I go to so many towns for 25, 30 years on tour and see certain towns transformed by what they call the cultural creatives, right? Creative
mm-hmm.
culture, whatever that is. Those are basically artists. Broke artists that come through and create something interesting, and that interest brings other business in. And I think those sorts of, I wouldn't know as an artist where we start with policy, but it does strike me that for being such a big part of the gross national product, that arts and the entertainment in general sure sort of get a low place on the totem pole. I mean, look at what we give to the NEA a year. We pay for that in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
By the time we're finished with this podcast, NEA has been paid for the entire year and the clock runs out for the rest of the time. Symbolically, like how is a leader in a news cycle that is so insane now, how do you break through that to sort of begin to approach the importance of the arts?
Well, you know, listen, it's hard to break through on so many issues with the new cycle now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a big theme of my campaign is this notion of responsible leadership, because I think what we've really had for a long time is irresponsible leaders. Responsible leaders would have actually addressed a lot of the issues we've already dealt with in society.
Right.
Responsible leaders would have tried to find common ground and make progress. Responsible leaders would be honest with the American people always about what our problems, what our opportunities are, and the best way forward. And responsible leaders would also talk about things that are really important to all of us. And that's where the arts comes in.
Right.
I mean, we've seen, I mean, you know, President Kennedy was obviously the most eloquent on this topic. When he, you know, implored the nation to reward achievement in the arts at the same level with that we reward achievement in business and statesmanship, et cetera. And I think that was really the right way of thinking about it, is to make sure we have parity with the arts as we do in other aspects of our society. Because if you ask people about, you know, if you say in the last week, what did you do that you really enjoyed?
Right.
There's a high correlation between some experience with the arts.
Yeah.
Right? Going to a movie that they loved, or going to a show, or listening to their favorite artist, whatever the case may be.
Like
those are
say,
kind of their high points of the week. So it just, you know, we're much more complicated than I think we often get reduced to by our elected officials. And the arts are a big part. And it's all different. Like, you know, I love listening to music, right? You know, some people like going to Broadway shows. I mean, it's all different, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a matter of interest. You know, once you've put the roof over your head and you have clean water and your kids are fed, the next thing you do with your money is generally of interest.
Yes.
You know, like, what am I interested in? Okay, well, I'm interested in going downtown to this newly revitalized theater, and they have a show, and I'll have to park my car, and that stimulates the economy, and I have to go buy a coffee before. And the things that you do with your money when you're led through the arts seems to be that alone, even if it wasn't important in the way kids' test scores are affected, and their education is affected, plus well-being and health and all these things. Even if it was just the economy alone, it strikes me as a very important thing to be able to communicate to people, especially in that cycle, like you say. I mean, and that's another problem. I have, you know, plenty of very smart friends who, as soon as you say, oh, you know, we need to make sure that we put a little money in the arts, you go, well, if you're going to put it in that, why don't you put it in this and this and this and this and this as well? And pretty soon it gets shuffled back down to the bottom again.
Can I ask you?
Sure.
I'm going to take up on one of your items, which was the education piece. And you know, you think about it, and then I want to also, because I think your point on the business impact that it has, or the economics.
Yeah.
So two issues that I picked up on both of you talking. First, the education piece. This is a big conversation that's going on, science, technology, engineering, math, STEM, or add in art. So how important do you think, John, in regards to K through 12 or even pre-K, the education system is to have arts as part of it, and part of when people think of these very important skill levels that are for us to compete worldwide, and you've been in business, so you understand this competitive nature we're in, to have arts as part of that equation?
Well, I think it's very important, and I think it's unfortunately been crowded out in the last several decades in public education, you know, in part because of the demands of testing, which have created a dynamic where so many schools and teachers really have to teach
the test.
Yeah, so they're spending a lot of time preparing for that, and so it's crowded out a lot of things like the arts and other things that are really important. So I think it should be central to a public educational experience. I happen to be someone who's advocating for universal pre-K and also expanded early childhood education. And as we all know, those of us, I have four kids, and they had the privilege of having early childhood education.
Right.
A lot of it is music.
Yeah, that's
a lot
exactly
of it is music,
right.
Because as you said, Ben, you can get kids working well together around songs and shows and performances. And, it's really interesting at a young age. That's kind of one of the organizing principles of an educational experience, which is to have the kids singing.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, it is. Again, same thing. We were fortunate to have our son able to have pre-K, and that experience is around art, may it be painting or sculpture or singing or music. That is kind of a core basis, which is very interesting from that perspective.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, it gets overlooked that art, and you know, music is my thing. So I bring up music a lot, but there's a lot more to art, like you say. Some kids like to bust a move, others like to paint a thing, you know. So we've all got different things, but in general, it begins as communication.
Right.
So the tool of that, like if I was not a musician, if I hadn't gotten very lucky in my business, I was most lucky to have had a good arts education growing up. That's to me more valuable than. It was more valuable to my being a person than it was to my career. The career was a lot of luck, but the things around it, the way that I know how to run a business, mm-hmm. communicate with people, advertise what I do, make it aesthetically proper, all those things I learned in lower school because they were just part of the scenery. We used to sit down on the floor and do this little rhythm exercise, and they had stuff written on the board. You go ta ti ti ta ta, amazing. Didn't cost a thing. Sat on the floor and did this. That was the time of the day that I felt part of the group, something that I could do. It was, and it gave me confidence. The smallest little thing, and it didn't take anything at all. And when people say, "Well, we don't have money for all this music education stuff," and I have to say, that didn't cost anything.
Yeah,
you know, it's just understanding how important it is, and understanding actually what art is. And it's not like, oh, we need a bunch of money to go make some really obscure stuff. No, we need to just unlock what's important.
We need a little bit of time.
If you had to boil it down, what policy, in your opinion, is the most pressing and the most effective? Because what I notice as I start to learn a bit about this is you look at all the presidents, and then you look at what happened to the NEA, and you can hardly correlate the pattern at all. You know, it went up the most, I think, under Nixon. I think that's correct, right? You know, it's like they tried to zero it out this time, right. And I think it may have slightly gone up, did it?
It's about, yeah.
Okay, well.
Yeah, but they tried to zero it out.
How does the president actually navigate that, and what are the policies?
Well, so I think, you know, I think a president has to ensure that it's a priority, right? And you have to ensure that the funding. And I think what's almost happened is the best way to ensure that it has good levels of funding is not to actually talk about the funding.
Right.
Because that's when it becomes kind of a political issue.
Right.
Which is they'd rather spend money on this than on our troops.
Right.
Right. It becomes all these false choices that mm-hmm. get made in politics for the benefit of the politicians, not for the benefit of any citizens or human beings in this country. But I do think it's leadership. I do think a president should speak about this, right? It should be part of a president's portfolio. You know, a president has a lot of responsibility, so maybe they're not going to be talking about it every day.
Right, of course.
But they ought to have some singular event that they do. One of the things I noticed from some of the stuff that I saw in advance of this meeting was this notion of creating as part of national service an artist corps.
Yeah, I love that.
And I love it, too, and I want to work it into, actually, because I've called for national service. I've called for a program that every high school graduate has an opportunity to serve their country. Not an obligation, but an opportunity to serve their country, either by joining the military, doing community service, being part of something I call the Climate Corps, which would be young people going around the country and helping communities with sustainability projects, infrastructure. Kind of an infrastructure corps. We've talked about an elder corps, which is people who go help our seniors kind of connect technologically, right? You know, help them, you know, which I find sometimes I ask my 12-year-old to do.
I'd like to participate.
But I think an artist corps is a great idea.
Yeah.
I think as part of a national service program, you could have something around the arts.
I like that, too, especially when it comes to people who should be giving back.
That's right.
More of my homies should be having to, you know, at least embarrassed into being part of an artist corps, you know. And there's so many kids in college that would love to be in music or art, and this is the way to do it?
Yes.
Put their asses to work.
I mean, it's really an investment. I mean, when you think about the multiplier effect, if you invest, I mean, if the imagine the Kennedy Center not here, right? What would happen? I mean, that economic churn that it has, not just for that moment.
I wouldn't be coming to D.C. as much.
You wouldn't be coming to D.C. But think about all the restaurants, the small businesses, the transportation, all
it's
those
huge
pieces that are part of it. And maybe, you know, when you look at the Endowment for the Arts funding, it was around $155 million, give or take. If you actually kept it to inflation, just inflation, it should be around $300 plus. So we're actually gone backwards in the value that you can buy. And if you think about it, and as an, you know, I know mayors, as a former mayor and a senator, but a former mayor, we looked at the arts as investment.
Yes, right. I was getting ready to say, I just wrote that down.
It's just a little bit of money and the multiplier.
Has a huge economic multiplier.
I mean, do you think there's a place, as you were just describing it, you have to kind of rethink about how it's talked about? Is that one of the ways?
Well, it's tough, I think, if you say, I mean, to back up something you said about, you know, in your position running for president, very difficult for you to talk about funding, to talk about money. But you have to eventually probably, do you have to take a stand on like how much, like, I would like to see at least a dollar per capita head towards the NEA? Are you allowed to stand for something like this?
I think you are.
So, I mean, can I ask you point blank, are you for a dollar per per
the quick math on it's about $320 million.
Right, and what is our budget right now? About
155.
Yeah, I'd be for doubling the endowment for the arts,
and that would actually finally get it up to the level of what it's been inflation adjusted. So it actually gets finally the buying power back,
right?
Which is, and that kind of money. I was always amazed how a little bit of money into an arts community, because another piece of this puzzle is, if they got a little bit of endowment for the arts, or like in the local communities a little bit, then the private sector, individuals and so forth.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, if you look at how arts is funded, you typically see these big donors for capital projects.
Capital.
So, you know, the expansion of the Kennedy Center, which is underway right now, as you see when you go there, that's funded by big gifts. But a lot of the programming, you know, like the NSO programming, is funded mostly by people not only buying tickets, but a lot of small donors.
Yeah.
Right. And so big donors really fund capital projects,
right?
Because you kind of need big donors to know you can build a big building and get certainty around
multi-million dollar.
But the programming, you know, all the fabulous artists and bringing them to town and doing that, that is funded by mostly small donors. It's the kind of the way it works philanthropically.
Do you think it's important to have good tax policy then that kind of reflects that ability for people, middle-class Americans, to be able to participate in that and make sure they, just like the wealthy get a deduction, making sure they do? And, you know, you make the argument, some people make the argument, well, maybe they won't give. Well, maybe not.
Well,
you know,
listen, incentives matter in life.
Yeah.
So if you create an incentive for people to make charitable deductions, they will make more of them.
That's right.
Which is the way it works.
Yeah. It's not complicated.
It's not that complicated.
right.
So part of policy, just to educate the musician here, does really come down to taxes and incentives, so that smaller donors aren't, you know, are incentivized to
Right,
to
and they're
that.
Not disincentivized to make donations to the arts.
Yeah.
They're just small. It is part of the tax code last time. They simplified some things with the standard deduction so that fewer people benefit from individual donations as they did in the past. So I think there's three things for a president to really think about with the arts. The first is to make sure the National Endowment of the Arts is funded at a sufficient level. And what you've called for here is effectively a doubling. And I think that makes sense, because if you look where it's gone up relative to inflation, it's lagged inflation.
That's right. That's right.
So that would basically bring it back to the level.
Yep.
The second thing is to make sure there's incentive for people to make small dollar donations to support the arts. And the third thing is this notion of a president really being a leader on the issues and shining a spotlight on the importance of it and making the case for it the right way. Because, as you said, in many ways, it's smart economic policy. It's funny. I ran into one of the most successful real estate investors in the country about 10 years ago told me a story about his investment philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I just try to find where the artists are going.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When they're going into a new neighborhood, I invest.
Yeah.
Because he described them of having an intuitive sense.
Divining rod. I think it's true.
Right. About what people are looking for and the feel, you know, and he said it's really worked well for me.
Yeah.
Because I find when I follow the artists, people follow them.
Yeah. Well, it would be like if you had a big business you were cultivating in one of the outer boroughs of New York City, and you realize that if you're going to put a big gold building somewhere, it might be better if it's close to the arts and in a place that people were interested in going. Yeah. So it does make sense that's where you'd want to go. And I think people overlook that.
Yes.
You know, you can't name a city that's of any interest to go to that doesn't have a symphony orchestra, a ballet, and some arts. If you're going to move, I don't know, a big car company into a city, certainly it's a lot more attractive to say we have some stuff, because you're moving your family and all your friends and family are moving there. It needs to feel good.
Well, in this world we live in now, the environment that the business is looking for is really the environment for their employees.
Yeah. Right.
And if the environment doesn't have, you know, good schools, good arts, good environment, it becomes short on the list not to go to.
It's part of societal infrastructure, mm-hmm. is the way to think about it. Yeah. You think about it like infrastructure.
That's right. Right.
It's part of societal infrastructure. So if you're locating a business and you're saying to yourself, you know, I want this to be a place that attracts people, you know, what will do that? And they'll start saying things like good public schools. Mm-hmm. That's something that attracts people. A vibrant arts community, right? That's something that attracts mm-hmm. people. You know, the ability to access the natural world and being able to be outside and do things, that's something. But it's really one of those two or three things.
That's right.
And I think because people know it's not only good for them, but it's good for their community because as you know, Ben, as you know, Senator, the arts really does encourage us to not only be more creative, but to really look at the world differently and actually helps us understand the truth of what's going on in the world. And people want to live in communities where those mm-hmm. kind of – they want to go to shows that inspire them, but they also want to go to shows that ask questions,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's what you – you know, you don't get that if you don't have a vibrant arts community.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe today to the Arts Vote 2020 podcast series with Ben Folds on Anchor or any of your favorite podcast apps. Please go to artsactionfund.org/podcast for more info. That's artsactionfund.org/podcast. You'll get more info.